The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
The old people group, we don't do that anymore, but all right, good. Take your Bible, please. Go back, if you will, to Genesis chapter 1. Look at verse 11. The Bible says, and God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb, yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth, and it was so. Look at verse 12. The Bible says, and the earth brought forth grass, the herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit, whose seed was in itself after his kind, and God saw that it was good. I want to speak this morning on the seven laws of the harvest, the seven laws of the harvest. You know, there are certain laws that God created from the beginning of time. There's the law of gravity. You cannot get away from the law of gravity here that is inside of the earth. There's the law of the seed and harvest. There's the law of sowing and reaping. There's the law, if you would please, of giving and getting. And so we'll see that God makes sure that everything is done within the laws that he himself, the Creator God, has laid down. In the book of Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, the Bible says, give and it shall be given unto you, good measure pressed down and shaken together. The Bible says, and running over shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet, wherewith it shall be measured to you again. So the Bible teaches that God will measure to you the same way you measured out to him. The difference is God is going to touch the heart of man, and God is going to use man to be a blessing to you, and it's going to be given back to you. Oh, not in a different measurement. It's going to be given back to you the same way you measured it to God. The difference is it will be pressed down and it will be running over. God will always be able to bless those that decide to obey him. Those that decide not to obey him, then certainly he will not bless. The Bible teaches in the book of Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. With an emphasis I'll put on the word whatsoever. That's all inclusive. Doesn't exclude any part of any person. But yet the Bible teaches here there is that law of sowing and reaping. What I want to do is I want to break down some categories for you this morning to be able to understand how God will bless if you will do the sowing. Statement number one, we reap sometimes what others before have sown. We reap sometimes what others before have sown. Sometimes it's a parent that works very, very hard, but yet the young person gets the blessing of living in the home that mom and daddy has sacrificed for and worked for. They get to sit on a nice sofa. They get to sit in a nice chair. They get to walk across a nice piece of carpet or maybe on a tiled floor or a wood floor. They get to go to a refrigerator that has plenty of food inside of it. They don't have a leaky roof. No, they have a nice sound, dry and warm place in which to live. Why? Because mom and daddy has already paid the price of sowing. And because they have paid the price of sowing, the young person gets the opportunity to be able to reap, and they're reaping from that which is sown by another. Sometimes you have a friend, and the friend will give you maybe a tangible gift of some type. And that friend that gives you a tangible gift of some type, you're the recipient of that. You're the one who gets blessed by that. Oh, not because you did the sowing, but because they did the sowing and they want to share in the blessing of the reaping, and so therefore they share with you. The freedoms that we have, that we so have here in America. Can I tell you? It's because somebody has sowed. Sometimes they sow on a foreign field, which whereby protects our country. So there's the sowing and the reaping. We reap good things from God. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh down from the Father of lights. And so we reap good things from God. Sometimes we don't reap good things from man. Started with Adam in the Garden of Eden, and as Adam stepped out to sin against a holy God, going against what God had told him not to do, brought sin into the world, and you and I have been reaping the whirlwind ever since. But can I tell you, we reap sometimes what others have sowed before us. Because they sow, we get the blessing. Somebody had to build that car, and you're driving it. Somebody sowed, and you're reaping. Somebody had to build your house, and you're reaping it because you're living in it. Somebody had to put these pews together, and because they did, you get a comfortable place to be able to sit. Somebody installed the air condition, and because of that, during the hot summer months here in Texas, you're able to be able to enjoy a little bit of coolness during a hot day. Somebody's no doubt prepared your lunch for you. If you go out to eat, they've already prepared it, and it's sitting there just waiting for you to come and lap it up. All right? So I'm saying this. We understand that sometimes there's those, if you will, that do the sowing, and you don't do the sowing, but you're able to reap because of somebody that sowed before you. Statement number two, think about this, if you will. We reap the same of the same kind that we sow. We see that in scriptures, as I pointed it out just a moment ago. You'll see that there is that which is the reaping, but the reaping comes in the same area of the sowing, as the Bible instructs us, after its kind, after his kind. You see that the seed is born inside of that. And because of that, there is a creation after its own kind. Oh, you have variations of cattle, but you never see a cow giving birth to a horse. Never do. They might be different color. They might have spots on them. They may be plain, but a cattle will always produce, yea, reproduce after its own kind. You see that in horses. You see that in pigs. You see it in other farm animals, if you will. You see that in the grass. You see that in the plants. You see it in the trees. Genesis, you'll see verses 11 and 12 on that. You'll see also the same is true among the sea creatures. They just don't evolve. No, they were created after their own kind. You see that in the birds. You see that in the land creatures. You see that in humans. There was Adam and Eve. That's male and female, by the way. And they are able to reproduce after their own kind. They don't choose to be able to switch. Aren't you glad that, well, maybe mankind's all mixed up about it, but don't you thank God God's not mixed up about it? And he created a male and female. And somebody says, well, I don't believe that God created me a male, or I don't believe that God, and they have this gender thing that's going around and all confused about it. Boy, I thank God. I said, I thank God that God is not confused about it. And so we understand that we reap the same kind that we sow. Statement number next. We reap in different seasons of which we do sow. You take your Bible and you learn in the book of Ecclesiastes chapter 3 and in verse 1, to everything there is a season. It says a time to every purpose under the sun. All right, so there's a time for a purpose. Oh, there's a time when somebody gets married. There's a time. I dare say you would agree with me, it would not be right for a six-year-old to get married. You say, why? That's not in the right timing. All right? There's a time for people to get married. There's a time to have a home. A time to have a home. You don't steal a home from somebody else. You work, and by the labor, if you would please, that you put into your work, you earn money and be able to buy a home. There's time to have children. Time to have children. There's time, if you would please, as the children get a little bit older, to enter into the process of dating, if you will. All right, so there is a time. There's a time to be able to work. Oh, yes, there is. There's a time to be able to have fun. There's a time to be able to enjoy your financial gain. Then there's a time to sacrifice so that somebody can hear the gospel. There's a time to have good health, but then sometimes there's a time to have ill health. Oh, there's a time to enjoy church. Aren't you glad we have a good church? Aren't you glad we have a good spirit? Aren't you glad you can come to church and enjoy the things of God and not have to worry about the world creeping in or not have to worry about something being taught that's not scripturally sound? Aren't you glad that you can come to church and enjoy each other's fellowship along the way? There's a time to go to church. There's a time for you to walk with God. I so appreciate the time that was put in to be able to put out the Bible reading programs. I am so appreciative of that. You know, I think everybody ought to read their Bible. By the way, the only way you're going to grow as a Christian is to get in your Bible. And then by getting in your Bible, let the Bible get in you. And so we understand that there is a different season, if you would please. We reap in a different season than that which we have sowed. I was raised on a 180-acre farm in Millers, Maryland. We had 180 acres. Most of that we planted. Most of it come planting time. We planted. Well, we planted corn and we planted wheat and we had hay. We had green beans, so many that you would just be satisfied for many years to come. We had potatoes. We had all sorts of stuff on that huge farm in Millers, Maryland, where I grew up. Now, can I tell you, we decided that we were going to go out and we were going to plant, but we didn't go out the very next day and take in a harvest. I was talking to a man not too long ago, and he said, well, I'll tell you what, preacher. He said, if I begin the tithe, he said, I just don't think that God will bless me tomorrow. And he may be right. God may not bless him tomorrow, but God will bless the consistency and the faithfulness of those that give. Oh, God is just, and God is right, and God will always take care of his own. David testified of that. David said, I once was young and now I'm old. He said, but I've never seen God's people forsaken or his seed begging for bread. So we understand this. We understand that God will take care of you. God will take care of you. I was in Bible college many years ago, and when I was in Bible college, I got the privilege to make some visits from time to time with some of the assistant pastors that was there in this particular church, and we went to the hospital. We went to the hospital to make a visit, and as we went to the hospital to make a visit, the man that was laying there in the hospital bed, he said, look over there in that jar. And inside that jar was gallstones. And he said, pick it up, young preacher boy. He said, I've got a lesson to teach you. I picked them up. Oh, did they look so nasty. I didn't want to hold them very long. We were supposed to eat lunch after that, and I still wanted to eat. He said, pick them up. He said, look deep into that jar. He said, what do you see? I said, gallstones. He said, no. He said, that's my tithes and offerings. He said, see, God's going to get it one way or another. You know, it surprises me. It does. It really surprises me how people think that they can rob from God and still be able to be blessed by God. That just surprises me to no end. The Creator God, the Bible says that that He is the owner of the earth and the fullness thereof. And yet people come and they say, I just don't understand. How come I'm not making it? And I ask them a simple question. Do you tithe? Well, no. I can tell you for sure why you're not making it. You cannot rob God and escape the curse of God on your life. But can I tell you something also? That when you put God first in your life, here's what God does. God says, I'll make sure the curse is lifted. I'll make sure that your fruit does not come before its time. I'll make sure that I bless you. I'll rebuke the devourer for your sake. And that's exactly what God does. I'm saying that we reap sometimes what others have sowed before us. I'm saying that we reap the same kind that is sowed. I'm saying that we're talking about the seven laws of the harvest. We reap in a different season sometimes than what we sow. Statement number next. We reap more than we sow. We reap more than we sow. Matthew chapter 13, verse 31, the Bible says, in another parable it says, put he forth unto them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a grain of mustard seed, which a man took and he sowed in the field. Listen to it, verse 32, Matthew 13, which indeed it says is the least of all seeds. And when it is grown, it says it is the greatest among the herbs and becometh a tree. Then it talks about the birds of the air. They come and they lodge there in the branches. They take up residence right there. Now, wait a minute. What is that? That is God blessing more than what a man sowed. God will always give back more. You take one kernel of corn, as I grew up on that farm, and you plant it, and can I tell you, it produces more than just one kernel of corn. That's the way it works. You take a bad seed, however, and no matter what it is, you take a bad seed and you plant it, it's going to produce more bad seed. You remember the story of Rebecca, and she had a son, and then she had another son, second son being named Jacob, and she wanted Jacob to have the father's blessing. So she told Jacob what to do as Esau went out to the field to be able to kill and to bring in a good animal, if you would please, to be able to feed daddy. Daddy's on his last breath, getting ready to go to heaven. Jacob precedes him. Mama gets, a calf, if you will, and fixes it and prepares it and puts fur, if you would, because Esau was a hairy man and Jacob was a plain man. And he went in and daddy said, well, it is the voice of Jacob, but it feels like Esau, and he blessed him. Well, wait a minute, there was deception there, and all of a sudden now Jacob and Rebecca come together, and Mama hears that when daddy dies, that Esau's going to rise up and kill his brother, and she looks at Jacob and said, flee. She only thought for a couple of days, but it was 20 years later. By the way, once he fled, he never saw his mother again. See, you sow in the wrong area, it's going to cost you more than what you ever thought it would. Jacob schemed, if you will, later on to deceive his father-in-law, Laban. You remember that? And he deceived him, but it came back on him, didn't it? Jacob now worked for 7 years wanting to marry Rachel, and he was also tricked by Laban and married the oldest daughter, Leah. Remember the story? Then Jacob worked another 7 years for Rachel. But Jacob, if you will, think about this, used skin, if you would, of the kid goat to be able to deceive his father, Isaac. And then later on in old age, you remember how his sons had that goat skin, if you would please, for the coat of many colors for Joseph. And what did they do? They used a coat skin, just like early on was used the skin of the goat, if you would, or the skin of an animal to be able to trick his father. His own boys came back and tricked him, saying, well, hey, listen, Joseph is dead. And they used that goat skin to be able to say he's dead. What goes around does come around. You have to understand that as a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Young person says, well, it just doesn't matter. Oh, it may not matter to you, but it does matter to God. God pays attention. God keeps good notes. God pays attention. And God knows that when you reap in a bad way, he makes sure that you sow in a bad way. He'll make sure that you reap in a bad way. But listen, if you sow in a good way, God will make sure that you reap in a good way. Amen. Oh, God is just. Don't you ever doubt it. Oh, you say, well, I can do this in private and I can do this in the dark. But God looks on. God is the one that is in your secret place. God is the one that pays attention when you're serving him in a public fashion, just to get the praise of men, and when you're serving him in a private fashion because you love him so much with your heart. God pays attention. Statement number next, we reap in proportion that we sow. Now think about this. I said that we reap more than we sow. By the way, that's God's part. That's God's part. And God makes sure that you reap more than what you sow in any area. But then man's part is this: we reap in proportion that we sow. The Bible talks about, if you will, in the book of Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 24, he that scattereth and yet increaseth, and there is that withholdeth more than is meet, but tendeth to poverty. You see, man has a responsibility simply to sow. You cannot determine how much God will bless you or how much God will blister you, depending on what you're sowing. You have a responsibility, dear friend, simply to sow. And it would be far better to sow in the right area than it would to sow in the wrong area. Now, we understand, the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 25, the Bible says, the liberal soul shall be made fat. For those of you men that's gained weight over the years, there's your verse. The Bible says, and he that watereth shall be watered, it says also himself. Verse 26, but he that withholdeth corn, the people shall curse him, but blessing shall be upon the head of him that selleth it. Now, what's he talking about here? He's talking about sowing, if you will, proportionately. As God blesses you, you choose. There's two ways of sowing. You can sow bountifully, or you can sow sparingly. That's up to you. All those old fields that we had out there in the meadow and in the high country, when it came time to plant, can I tell you what? If we chose to sow sparingly, come harvest time, we would also reap sparingly. But if we decide, oh, it's going to be a good year, and let's get it out, let's get the tractors out, let's go ahead and break up the fallow ground, let's prepare it for planting. And we went out and we planted, and we planted, if you would please, bountifully, we'd also reap a bountiful harvest. Now, can I say this? Whatever you sow in, it's going to come back. And if you sow bountifully, you reap bountifully. By the way, that's in right doing. That's also in wrongdoing. Here's a person says, well, I'll tell you what, I can drink and it doesn't matter. I'm getting away with it and I feel great and it doesn't matter to me whatsoever. Oh, you'll eventually reap. You might not be reaping right now, but can I tell you, my dear friend, I love you, but you will reap. Well, I can do drugs, and it doesn't matter. I can take the drugs, and makes me feel good. You say that now while you still got the brain cells that you haven't killed yet. But eventually, as you try to form a sentence, and it doesn't turn out like it should, and you try to calculate, and it doesn't turn out like it should, and you find yourself an emotional wreck because of the drugs that you took into your system, what is that called? That's called reaping. That's called reaping. Oh, if I were you, oh, my dear friend, if I were you, I'd spend the rest of my dear life sowing in the right area. Amen. You're going to reap. Oh, I hear the critics. I do. I hear the critics, and they say, well, this and that, and it's just tongues of criticism. And they don't get any coming their way. But can I tell you, my dear friend, they will. And they will. I know people that don't spend any time with their children, and they leave their children to grow by themselves. And they say, they'll turn out all right. They'll make the right type of decision, but eventually they may not, and you'll be the one that reaps the whirlwind. I'm saying this. I'm saying that we reap in proportion to that which we sow. You see that all the way through the Old Testament, as I read some of the verses just a moment ago in the book of Proverbs. Statement number 6, we reap the full harvest only if we persevere. You'll not reap a full harvest if you don't persevere. I relate back to the old days coming up on a farm. And if we just decide, well, it's just too hot out here. It's just too hot. Just don't feel like doing it no more. And we quit. Well, then we only reap what we've sowed. We don't reap what we failed to sow. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 24, the Bible says, know ye not that they which run in a race run all? What's that mean? They give it their all. Oh, but preacher, you don't understand. Sometimes I get discouraged. I understand that. I get that too. Oh, but preacher, you just don't understand. Sometimes it's hard. I'd rather finish right and it be hard than to not finish, though it is hard. The Bible says, but one receiveth the prize, so run that you may obtain. Didn't say, so sit down that you may obtain. You're not going to. It didn't say, just go ahead and take it easy and you'll obtain. It did not say that. He's still talking about running. There's an urgency there. I was driving up in my neighborhood. I got off of making visits in the evening time, and we had the Lord's Supper in preparation with that, meeting with the deacons and staff last night here, and then I headed home. And as I was heading home, there was an Amazon truck. It was about 6:30, 7 o'clock last night that I started to head home, got to my neighborhood about 7:15 or so. And as I got ready to get into my neighborhood and to drive up into my driveway, there was a man in an Amazon truck. Amazon. And can I tell you, he was in no slow motion. He was in a hurry. He had himself a box. I don't know what was in the box, but it must have been important because he jumped out of the truck in front of my truck. Now, praise the Lord, I was only going 102 miles an hour. But he jumped out of my truck in front of my truck, and I stopped, and then he looked at me knowing that he did that, and he smiled and waved. You know what he's saying? Thank you for not killing me. That's exactly what he was saying. And then he ran scurdily so up to the door and just rang the doorbell, put the box down, and left. I saw him leaving in my rearview mirror. It didn't take him very long. You know why? He's in a hurry. Can I tell you, the church ought to be in a hurry about obeying God. You ought to be excited about church. The church ought not be a funeral home. You know, where the few and the frozen gathered. Ought not be something like that. You ought to enjoy coming to church. You know, my Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You say, well, if I shout, that person sitting in front of me, they just might wake up. Yeah, maybe they should. Some of you women ought to hit your husband from time to time. Just kind of get him right there in the ribs. Now, he'll either shout or grunt. Now, I'm saying this. The Bible says in James chapter 5 and verse 7, the Bible says, be patient therefore, my brethren. It says, be patient therefore, brethren. Unto the coming of the Lord, behold, the husbandman waiteth, it says, for, it says, the precious fruit of the earth, and have long patience for it. So wait a minute, we're supposed to be patient. Well, I want God to answer my prayer right now. He may not. Might not be his will right now. Don't forget who's in charge. James chapter 5 and verse 8, the Bible says, be also patient. It says, establish your hearts. For the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. I dare say I'm 57. I've been preaching for 36 years. And I dare say I am closer to the rapture taking place today than it was 10 years ago. You say, why do you say? Because it didn't take place 10 years ago. But it is imminent. Oh, sure it is. We don't know. I think I'll be escorted by the undertaker before I'm put in the dirt by the undertaker. I really do. I think that there will be a day where I'll be able to walk down the streets of gold and see mama and daddy and those that went before me. Why? Simply because of the fact that they preceded me. And wait a minute, but I want to persevere. I want to be persistent. I want to stay at it. I don't want my kids one day to walk past a casket and say, well, I remember how daddy used to. I don't want that. By the way, when I entered into the ministry, I did not enter into the ministry to get out. I entered into the ministry to get in. when I was younger, oh, I guess in my 40s, somebody said, well, when you get older, you'll stop preaching that way. Well, I don't know. I don't think that age ought to change a person. If you have the ability to use what you have, then you ought to use the ability to give what you have. You know, preachers are different, aren't they? I mean, we're just as different as they come. I don't think you ought to judge them for their presentation, their delivery, if you will, preaching technique or whatever. There are some fellas, and I'm for it. I tell you, I'm for it. Can I stress that? I'm for it. Yeah, and I am. I'm for it. I'm for guys that stand behind the pulpit, never use any type of lapel mic or handheld mic, and they're right here, and I'm all about it. I'm all about it. I love listening to preaching. I don't care who does it. But then there's some of us that we feel kind of caged in. Years ago, when they built this pulpit for me, you don't know this, but I'll tell you, it's a secret. Don't tell anybody. But it has a bulletproof thing right here. Could take a 50 caliber right there. 50 caliber. So the policeman said, well, if anybody ever breaks in and tries to kill you, remember, hide behind the cross. Can you imagine, you know, when we have a full deck up here, all of us getting right down here. Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying that we reap the full harvest only with persevere. Just keep going. Just keep going. Say, well, sometimes I'm tired. Oh, you're born tired. My dad used to say, you'll live tired, you'll die tired. You might as well do something. Here it is, and I'm done. You reap only in the future, not the past. Say, preacher, what do you mean? Past is over. Past is over. You got a bright future. Here's what Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 13. Brethren, he says, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. Then he says this, I press. He said, I press toward the mark, the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, wait a minute. So what's he talking about? He's talking about future. You press. You know, older I get, the more I like to study. I don't know if that's just something old people like or not. If you're old and you like to study, Rachel, no, don't do that. But the older I get, the more I like to study, the more I like to dig. The older I get, the more I rely on the Holy Spirit. The older I get, the more I realize I need to get the gospel out like never before. The older I get, the more I realize the urgency and the importance of Bible preaching. The older I get, the more people I want to love, the more people I want to encourage, the more people I want to walk beside, because I just don't know when I'll take that last breath or they take their last breath. So I think that we ought to spend the rest of it. You said, but I'm a teenager. Oh, you don't know. When I was in Hattiesburg, Mississippi, working for Dr. C.R. Williams at the great Central Baptist Church, I was his youth director for 8 years. There was a boy running track and field. My wife would remember this. Dropped dead of a heart attack at age 17. You have no idea. That's why you ought to give it your best while you got it. Just put forth your best effort and your best foot, if you will, while you have it to do. There are 7 laws of the harvest. You choose how you reap in accordance to how you choose in which you will sow. Wow. Father, help us, I pray, please. I love these dear people. I'd like to see you bless them. I'd like to
thank
see you
for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.